Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. We're going to read verse 14 through 30. And we are continuing on our Why Am I Here series. This is lesson 6. And it looks like we will have one more lesson perhaps next week if the Lord wills. And Matthew chapter 25 verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." How many want to hear that from the Lord? Amen. "He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained. Behold, I have gained. 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant." We don't want to hear that. "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There is something quite important in this parable told by the Lord, and there's something here that it's completely relevant for us today, even in this generation and hour that we live in, and especially as we seek to answer one of the greatest questions ever asked: why am I here? From this parable, we're going to look at that. Why are we here? As we examine how we all have been called to be faithful. We've been called to be faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What is the greatest thing that we can do for God? As we live our lives as Christians, dedicated to the Lord and called according to his purpose, what is the greatest thing that we can do for God? For us to be faithful. That is the greatest task that we can work towards in this life, to be faithful unto God. In our text, we find a landowner who he goes away for an extended period of time, and before he leaves, he calls his servants in and he gives them various portions of his estate. To one, he gives 5 talents. To another, he gives 2, and to yet another, he gives 1. How much is a talent? Some have estimated that a talent might be worth somewhere between $30,000 to $50,000 or even $100,000 in today's money. That's quite a large sum of money. What he gave each of his servants was certainly enough for them to get started in business, doing something. And even the one that just had one talent, it was plenty that he could get started doing something. The master was gone for quite some time, and while he was away, there was two who were working, while the other was just waiting. Two were putting their master's investment to good use, while the other did nothing. When their master returned, he called for his servants, and he began to evaluate their efforts. He found that the two servants had made wise investments, and they had worked to double their return. And for that, there was a great reward. He told each of them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." But the man who'd been given just one talent, he had done nothing with it. And so his punishment was quite severe. He was cast into outer darkness, away from the presence of the Lord, where Jesus declared that there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is this story all about, this parable that Jesus told them? What did it mean? And what does it mean for us today? There is going to be a day of reckoning. There is a day of judgment that is coming where we will give an account of what we have done in this life. How did we invest what God has given us? What did we do with the talent, with the ability, with the potential that he placed inside of us? Where did we put the resources that he placed into our hands? What did we do as stewards of the master? And I tell you today, it does matter. He does care. He does keep watch over us. It is important what we do in this life. Amen. I want to tell you it's important what we do and what we don't do. It's on a pass or fail basis, and the outcome is very clear. If we pass, we're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But if we fail, we will be cast into outer darkness, away from the presence of the Lord. I tell you today, this outcome, it's way too important for us to just treat this kind of casually, because it will affect us for eternity. Amen. It will affect us for eternity. As we've already looked at in this series, we're not living just for this life. We're not living for just this 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years or more. But no, that's just a drop in the bucket compared to an ocean of eternity. But what we do in this life, it determines what happens in the next. And this is the most important thing that we can do: to be faithful, to be found faithful. Oh, what does faithfulness look like? How can we know if we're being faithful? Is there a standard that we can measure ourselves up against? And is there a guidebook to know how we're doing? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there is a great manual on how to be faithful. It's called the Bible. Praise the Lord. It's called the Bible. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? Oh, aren't you thankful? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And in the pages of our Bible, we can find wisdom on anything we will ever face in this life. Thank God for his word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Hallelujah. Oh, God would not leave us without a way of knowing what we're to do. And he would not leave us without a way of not knowing how something as important as eternity, how to make it there. But thank God for his word. If you've not been reading the word of God lately, you need to get your priorities straight. You need to make time every single day. Get on a Bible reading plan. Get an app. Do whatever you got to do. You'll be amazed at the wisdom that will jump out at you from the words of life, the direction that you'll get about the things of life, the answer for problems and stuff you're going through. The Word of God is alive. Amen. And it can minister to any situation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Looking through the Word of God, we're going to examine a few areas that we are called to be faithful in. First of all, tonight, let's go to Daniel, the prophet Daniel, who had been carried away as a captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. And they did their best to assimilate him into their society, to get him to just mix in with their values and their ways of living, not to be different, not to stand out, but to just be like all the rest. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Seems like somebody preached a little bit on the spirit of tolerance or something about all that lately, but anyway. They did their best to get Daniel to leave his traditions and his beliefs behind and just become like all the rest in Babylon. But Daniel had a true relationship with the one true God of heaven. He was faithful and true to the Lord. We read in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him." Because of God's hand upon Daniel's life, King Darius had set him as the chief of three presidents under him, who were then over 120 princes, who were then over the whole kingdom. And because Daniel had an excellent spirit, I want to tell you, our spirit matters. Our attitude matters. Our attitude makes a difference. Amen. When you're in school, your attitude makes a difference. When you're on the job, your attitude makes a difference. But because Daniel had an excellent spirit, King Darius planned to put him over the whole realm of his kingdom. But guess what? Those other presidents and those princes, they got jealous. And they started looking for something that they could tear Daniel down about, some way that they could destroy him. But they couldn't find anything. There was nothing there. And then there's this little phrase that we find about Daniel. It says, "For as much as he was faithful." He was faithful. "Neither was there any error or fault found in him." I want to remind someone here tonight that if we will be faithful, if we will follow the plan and the will of God for our lives, it doesn't matter who gets jealous of us. It does not matter who seeks to destroy us. If God has opened the door, if God has placed us in his calling and in his purpose, then God will make a way to keep us there. Come on, somebody needs to hear this tonight. If God has put you there, then God will make a way to keep you there. God will provide. God will work it out. God will make a way. Now, if we, on the other hand, pushed open the door ourselves, and if we climbed over everybody else to get to the top, and if we got to our place by force, then we will eventually find out that our place is not really sure at all. But if it was God that put us there, then only God can remove us. Amen. It's better to just trust the Lord. It's better to just wait and say, "God, I'm not going to push that door open myself, but I'm going to pray, let your will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. And God, wherever you want me to go and whatever you want me to do and however you want me to live, God, I let the calling of God be upon my life, and you lead me and direct me, oh God." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. The spirit of ambition has destroyed so many. The They're so ambitious. And I'm not saying ambition is wrong, but it's got to be submitted to the plan of God for our life and the authority of His Word in our life. Amen. Don't let the plan, spirit of ambition destroy you, but you trust in the Lord and let God make a way. Daniel was found faithful. They couldn't find anything against him. Nothing to destroy him over. Daniel 6 and 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. We've looked. There's nothing there except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they came up with this plot. They knew Daniel had a prayer life. And so they presented a plan to the king that no one could pray for 30 days to any god beside the king, or they would be cast into the den of lions. And they weaved their plan and got the support and got the king's ear. And what did Daniel do? Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't change it. He said, I've still got to be faithful. I've still got to be faithful. Oh, come on, Daniel. It would have been okay just kind of keep the window shut this time. Don't broadcast it, you know, just kind of go undercover for a little bit. It's just 30 days and then you'll be back and just kind of be a little careful. But Daniel said, no, I'm gonna keep doing what I've been doing because I've got to be faithful. Hallelujah. And they ran to the king to get Daniel in trouble. And when the king realized what these men had done, he was so upset. But the decree of the king was law, and so Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. But God miraculously delivered him. And the next morning, the king, he hurried along very early in the morning to that den of lions. He cried out for Daniel. And Daniel replied, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. And the king commanded that Daniel's accusers be cast into that same den of lions. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did Daniel know that God was going to deliver him? I don't know. I don't know that God spoke to him. God usually doesn't give you a clue before it happens. But he's looking for someone to be faithful no matter the outcome. And I just kind of believe that Daniel, when he opened his window and he began to pray towards Jerusalem three times a day, he knew that he was facing the lion's den, and he knew that it very well could mean his death. Most likely it did, but there was something in him. He said, I've got to be faithful. I've got to be faithful even to the death. I must be faithful. And God took what the enemy meant to destroy, and he used it to bring glory to himself. And in the midst of this attack meant to destroy him, the Bible says that Daniel prospered. That was the work of God. Amen. I want to tell you right now, when God sets out to work and bless you and you follow in his will and you stand on his word and you're faithful to his promise, it doesn't matter what the enemy's going to do. It does not matter the attack that comes against you. You just keep on being faithful. You keep on being trustworthy. You keep on being honorable to the Lord. God will work it out. God will make a way, and it'll bring him glory. Amen. Come on, does anybody want to say, God, I want my life to bring you glory. I want my life to bring you praise. Let your will be done, Lord. Let your plan go forward in Jesus' name. He was faithful. We are called to be faithful. What does this mean for us? How can we be faithful as Daniel was faithful? We've got to find time to pray. We've got to make time to pray. We've got to make time to pray. Amen. We're not facing the punishment that Daniel was facing. We have freedom. You can go stand on a corner next to MSU and pray out loud. You can get you a loudspeaker and pray. I've seen people do it. Well, I don't know that they're praying, but they're doing something. You can stand on the top of your house, the roof of your house, and scream as loud as you want to. And they might call somebody, think you're crazy, but you have the right to pray. I don't know what the future holds. We may face a time that we don't have that right. And what are we going to do? Come on, somebody. If we can't pray right now when it's free. Oh. Come on, if we can't pray right now when we're able to pray freely, how are we going to pray if it's under persecution? Somebody needs to say, Lord, I've got to be faithful. I've got to be faithful. There's something about my relationship with you, oh God. It comes before everything else. And I've got to spend time with you, and I've got to hear your voice, and I've got to feel your presence. I've got to feel your spirit. I've got to spend time in prayer. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I don't feel the Lord. I can't feel God when I pray. I want to tell you what, there's been times that I thought I didn't feel the Lord. There's been times when I prayed and I thought nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. I don't even know the Lord is real. I mean, that's what went through my mind. I knew he was real because I've had experiences. But in that moment, I thought, God, where are you? But I want to tell you, keep praying. You keep being faithful. Hallelujah. And what you'll find is that he is ever faithful. He is ever faithful. And even when you don't see it, he's working. And even when you can't feel him, he's moving. And even when you don't know where he's at, and if he's, I tell you, he's listening. And your prayers are not in vain. Hallelujah. He is ever faithful. And we're called to be faithful. Praise the Lord. If you feel like you can't feel the presence of the Lord, I just challenge you. You just lift your hands. You get along with yourself somewhere and just you lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord, that I can feel you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God, that I can feel you. Thank you. And you, by faith, just start thanking the Lord that you can feel his presence. I guarantee you it won't be too long. You'll start to feel the Holy Ghost start to move in that room. And God will meet you there in that place. Hallelujah. Come on. Why don't we do that right now? Lord, I thank you that I can feel your presence. I thank you for your touch. I thank you, Lord, that I can pray and I can seek your face and that you hear me, God, and you answer prayer and you touch my life. I thank you, Lord, that your spirit is in this house tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing miracles even as I speak. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for your anointing, for your power, for your deliverance, oh God. I praise you for it in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the outpouring of your spirit. I thank you, Lord, for a mighty earth-shaking revival that you are going to do through this church and in this city. I thank you, Lord, for blessings that we've never even imagined, but God, you've already laid it up. You've already prepared it. You're about to open the door. I thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bible reading and study. Amen. There's authority in the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. There's answers. There's help. There's hope. You got to take the Word of God like a medicine. If your doctor said, okay, you're not going to live unless you take this medicine 3 times a day. What are you going to do? You're going to make it happen. You're going to find a way. If you got to eat, you're going to eat some lunch, and you're going to make a way to take that medicine. If you forget it at home and you're at work, you're going to leave, and you're going to go get that medicine. I mean, you will make a way to take your medicine. Somebody needs to take the medicine of the Word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, if you've been battling a spirit of fear, if you've been battling anxiety and worry and stress, I challenge you to take the Word of God like a medicine. You read the Word of God morning, noon, and night. You read the Word of God every time you feel that spirit of fear try to come on you. You read the Word of God every time you can think of it. Get you a little New Testament. Put it in your car every time you're sitting at a stop sign or a stoplight instead of picking up your phone and getting on Facebook. Read the Word of God. You take it like a medicine every chance you can get. I tell you, the Word of God is alive. Come on, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And it's the roadmap to heaven, and it's the guide for how to be faithful. Prayer, fasting. Kind of preach to myself, all right? McCoy, you don't like to fast. McCoy, you find every excuse not to fast. McCoy, you start to fast, somebody's going to offer to buy you lunch. It's just, that's the way it is. But McCoy, you've got to fast. McCoy, you've got to fast. You've got to put your flesh on the altar. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Let's be faithful unto the Lord. I'm going to cover quickly tonight two other areas of faithfulness. Number one, or secondly, is regarding our time, our talent, and our treasure. Did you know God wants us to be rich? God wants you to be rich. You didn't learn that in Sunday school. But I'm telling you, God wants you to be rich. I'm serious. He wants you to be rich. Jesus taught it. Read with me in Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus wants us to be rich, not like this world wants to be rich. But Jesus was saying that in this short period of time, these years that we have on this earth, this life that's like a vapor, he wants us to be so rich that we have to store it up. He wants us to have vaults for all of our stuff. I'm serious, but don't put your vault in a place that's going to pass away. Don't put your treasure in a place that's going to pass away in such a short time. But no, he wants us to put it in a place that's going to last, where moth and rust don't corrupt and destroy it, where it can't be stolen by thieves. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How sad for those that spend their whole life accumulating the wealth of this world, but when they die, they can't take it with them. It does them no good in eternity unless they've sent some on ahead. Amen. In our text, we read of the three servants, the first and the second. They multiplied what was given to them. The third said, well, it's right here. I buried it, and here it is. This idea of equality in heaven is not correct. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about heaven being equal. And I know that's a big thing in this earth right now, that we all need to be equal and take from those that have and give to those that don't. And, you know, but that's not the way, that's the opposite of what Jesus taught. He said, you take the one that doesn't have and you give it to the one that does have, because he was faithful. And every time Jesus talks about heaven, he talks about storing up treasures, of there being different amounts. He speaks of ruling and reigning and of crowns. And you see, what we do here with our time and our talent and our treasures, it's going to determine what we have in eternity and what we do in eternity. 168 hours in a week. If we give just 10% of that to God and to his kingdom, that's 16.8 hours. Church services, maybe 5 or 6 hours a week. If we pray, if we study our Bible an hour a day for 7 days a week, then that leaves at least 4.8 hours that we need to be giving to the Lord. Find some opportunity to serve. Give your time to the Lord. Some way you can dedicate and devote yourself to the kingdom. Our talent. We have a church full of talented people. It's amazing, the talent and the resources that are here. This church should never be without whatever talents we have. Amen. We should find a way to invest our talent in the kingdom. And this is not specifically a lesson on financial stewardship, but we teach that we should give God of the first fruits, not what's left over, but of what's first. Amen. We teach that we should give the tithe. That's 10% of our increase. We teach that we should give our offerings 5% of our increase. And if God leads us, whatever he leads us to do over and above that, that's fine for building fund or missions or other things. But Luke 16 and 10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? How many want to be found faithful? Lord, I want to be found faithful. Praise the Lord. So we should be faithful in devotions to the Lord in our time and our talent and our treasure. And then third tonight, lastly, we are called to be faithful in holiness and separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 tells us, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. That's a serious thing. If we are not holy, we will not see the Lord. We will not hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What does it mean to be holy? The definition of the word holiness is to be set apart unto the service of God, commanding absolute adoration and reverence, spiritually pure. Some synonyms for holiness include separation, consecration, dedication, godliness, purity. Holiness affects our body, it affects our soul, it affects our spirit. And as we become more and more like the Lord with the help of the Holy Ghost, it's hard to do it. You can't do it without the Holy Ghost, but with the Holy Spirit, our character and our lifestyle will take on more and more of God's nature. Amen. Holiness is more than just believing, but it involves doing and it involves being. Holiness affects our tongues. It affects our tempers. It affects our passions. It affects our conduct, our appearance. True holiness is where we take on the true character of Jesus Christ, and we are separated from the world unto him. Both inward and outward holiness are important. It's sad because sometimes people think that because they look the part on the outside that they've got it all down, but Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for doing that. Some people may profess to be holy, but if they don't possess the nature of Jesus Christ on the inside, then they are totally missing it. Amen. I want to be holy inside and out. Amen. Amen. And so what we are striving for is to be clean, to be holy, to be separated. We've been made new. We've been born again. We've been changed from what we used to be. And that's on the inside. But on the outside, we learn to forsake the worldly things. And now we're laying up treasures in heaven. We used to spend our time and energy on the things of the world. But now we spend time in prayer and Bible reading and Christian fellowship. We're faithful in attending the house of God. Because we know that's where our strength comes from. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We've got to love the things of God. And he goes on, he talks about all the things of the world, all the world boasts of, all the world promises us, the lust of the flesh. Those are the things that satisfy the cravings and the appetites of our flesh. And that's what this world is living for. They don't live for the things of spiritual satisfaction. They live to satisfy their flesh. The lust of their eyes, those things that gratify our sight. That's not what we're to live for. The pride of life. Pride was how Satan fell, and it leads to sin, and we become proud and arrogant. And I want to tell you, it's nothing that we can do on our own, but we need Jesus, folks. Praise the Lord. These things are not of God, but they're of the world. And if we love the things of the world, we don't have the love of the Father in us. We are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. God cares about what we do with our bodies. He cares about that. This world may declare, well, it's my body, I'll do what I want to with it. But when we're born again, we become a new creature. We become the temple of the presence of Almighty God, and his Spirit dwells inside of us. And I want to tell you, just like you care what's in your house, Jesus cares what's in his house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus cares about his house. Our bodies are God's property. He does what he wants to with our bodies. We've been made in the image of God, and we are not our own, but we've been purchased by his blood. Praise the Lord. And so I tell you today, it doesn't need to be, well, this is what I want and this is what I think. And no, God, you are my King. You are my Master. You are my Savior. What is it that you want? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to dress? How do you want me to act, oh God? Amen. We believe we should live modest. We should dress modestly. We believe there should be a distinction between the sexes. That's the way God ordained it. That's not what this world believes. But we believe the Word of God. We believe we should have clean living to take care of this temple that God has given us. How we live this life, the choices we make, the things we do, the things we don't do, I want to tell you, they matter. They matter. But if we're faithful to God, we're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Revelation chapter 17, we see how all the kings of this world are going to come together. They're going to unify against the Lord. We read in Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. They're called, they're chosen, and they're faithful. Many are called, but few are chosen. And if you've been chosen, you have a calling upon your life to be faithful. Hallelujah. In closing tonight, I wonder if we could just commit our lives once again to the Lord. I know maybe you've lived for God for many years. Maybe you're here tonight and this is your first day here. I don't know. Maybe you're here tonight and you still don't have everything perfect, but you're trying. You're trying. Amen. I think we could all say, I'm just trying, Lord. Help me. Help me. I believe. Help my unbelief, Lord. Help me, Jesus. But would you just commit your life to the Lord and say, God, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful, Jesus. Come on, somebody lift your hands to the Lord and say, God, help me to be faithful. Lord, give me the strength. Help me, Jesus. Give me the ability to be faithful. Lord, I don't want to let you down. I don't want to live in defiance of your word. God, I don't want to live in a way that you'll be displeased with. But God, I pray that you'd help me to be faithful. Help me to be faithful, oh God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, God, help me to get back to times of devotion. Help me, Lord, to be faithful in my time of prayer. Help me to be faithful in my time of fasting. Help me to be faithful in reading your word, oh God. Oh, I pray that you'd help me to be faithful to the house of God. Lord, every time there's a church service, let me be there, God. Help me to make a way that's a priority for my family. I'm not going to let things lead me astray, but I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. No matter what it takes, I want to be faithful, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody, you need to pray, God, help me to be faithful with my time, with my talent, with my treasure. Oh, God, help me to overcome the temptation to put other things first, and let me put your kingdom first, your will first, in Jesus' name. Help me to be faithful, Lord, with the resources you've blessed me with. Help me to be faithful, God, with the time that I have. I may not have much to offer, but I've got some time, and Lord, I want to be faithful with my time. I pray, God, that you would take what little we have, and I pray that you would use it. I pray that you would bless it. I pray that you would multiply it for your use and for your kingdom and for your glory, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh God, and I want to be faithful to you in holiness. I want to be faithful to you in holiness, God. Be ye holy, you said, oh God. I want to be holy. I want to be set apart. I want to take care of this temple that you have given me, Lord. I don't want to treat it casually, Lord, but help me to realize this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm not my own, but I've been bought with a price. Lord, you purchased me with your blood, and God, I want to be faithful with the way that I dress. I want to be faithful with the way that I act. I want to be faithful with the places I go, the things that I do. Oh God, help me to be faithful unto you, Jesus. I want to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.